First part, question 105, the change of creatures by God. Article 6, whether God can do anything outside the established order of nature. St. Augustine says, God sometimes does things which are contrary to the ordinary course of nature. From each cause there results a certain order to its effects, since every cause is a principle. And so according to the multiplicity of causes, there results a multiplicity of orders, subjected one to the other, as cause is subjected to cause. Wherefore, a higher cause is not subjected to a cause of a lower order, but conversely. An example of this may be seen in human affairs. On the father of a family depends the order of the household, which order is contained in the order of the city, which order again depends on the ruler of the city, while this last order depends on that of the king, by whom the whole kingdom is ordered. If therefore we consider the order of things depending on the first cause, God cannot do anything against this order, for if he did so, he would act against his foreknowledge, or his will, or his goodness. But if we consider the order of things depending on any secondary cause, thus God can do something outside such order, for he is not subject to the order of secondary causes, but on the contrary this order is subject to him, as proceeding from him, not by a natural necessity, but by the choice of his own will, for he could have created another order of things. Wherefore God can do something outside this order created by him when he chooses, for instance by producing the effects of secondary causes without them, or by producing certain effects to which secondary causes do not extend. So St. Augustine says, God acts against the usual course of nature, but by no means does he act against the supreme law, because he does not act against himself. First objection. It would seem that God cannot do anything outside the established order of nature. For Augustine says, God, the maker and creator of each nature, does nothing against nature. But that which is outside the natural order seems to be against nature. Therefore, God can do nothing outside the natural order. Reply to the first objection. In natural things, something may happen outside this natural order in two ways. It may happen by the action of an agent which did not give them their natural inclination, as for example when a man moves a heavy body upwards, which does not owe to him its natural inclination to move downwards, and that would be against nature. It may also happen by the action of the agent on whom the natural inclination depends, and this is not against nature, as is clear in the ebb and flow of the tide, which is not against nature, although it is against the natural movement of water in a downward direction. For it is owing to the influence of a heavenly body on which the natural inclination of lower bodies depends. Therefore, since the order of nature is given to things by God, if he does anything outside this order, it is not against nature. Wherefore, Augustine says, that is natural to each thing which is caused by him from whom is all mode, number, and order in nature. Second objection. As the order of justice is from God, so is the order of nature. But God cannot do anything outside the order of justice, for then he would do something unjust. Therefore, he cannot do anything outside the order of nature. Reply to the second objection. The order of justice arises by relation to the first cause, who is the rule of all justice, and therefore God can do nothing against such order. Third objection. God established the order of nature. Therefore, if God does anything outside the order of nature, it would seem that he is changeable, which cannot be said. Reply to the third objection. God fixed a certain order in things in such a way that at the same time he reserved to himself whatever he intended to do otherwise than by a particular cause. So when he acts outside this order, he does not change. Article 7. Whether whatever God does outside the natural order is miraculous. St. Augustine says, where God does anything against that order of nature which we know and are accustomed to observe, we call it a miracle. The word miracle is derived from admiration, which arises when an effect is manifest, whereas its cause is hidden. As when a man sees an eclipse without knowing its cause, as the philosopher says in the beginning of his Metaphysics. Now the cause of a manifest effect may be known to one, but unknown to others. Wherefore a thing is wonderful to one man, and not at all to others, as an eclipse is to a rustic, but not to an astronomer. Now a miracle is so called as being full of wonder, as having a cause absolutely hidden from all, and this cause is God. Wherefore those things which God does outside those causes which we know are called miracles. First objection. It would seem that not everything which God does outside the natural order of things is miraculous. For the creation of the world and of souls and the justification of the unrighteous are done by God outside the natural order, as not being accomplished by the action of any natural cause. Yet these things are not called miracles. Therefore not everything that God does outside the natural order is a miracle. Reply to the first objection. Creation and the justification of the unrighteous, though done by God alone, are not properly speaking miracles, because they are not of a nature to proceed from any other cause, so they do not occur outside the order of nature, since they do not belong to that order. Second objection. According to Augustine, a miracle is something difficult which seldom occurs, surpassing the faculty of nature, and going so far beyond our hopes as to compel our astonishment. But some things outside the order of nature are not arduous, for they occur in small things, such as the recovery and healing of the sick. Nor are they of rare occurrence, since they happen frequently, as when the sick were placed in the streets to be healed by the shadow of Peter. Nor do they surpass the faculty of nature, as when people are cured of a fever. Nor are they beyond our hopes, since we all hope for the resurrection of the dead, which nevertheless will be outside the course of nature. Therefore, not all things outside the course of nature are miraculous. Reply to the second objection. An arduous thing is called a miracle, not on account of the excellence of the thing wherein it is done, but because it surpasses the faculty of nature. Likewise, a thing is called unusual, not because it does not often happen, but because it is outside the usual natural course of things. Furthermore, a thing is said to be above the faculty of nature not only by reason of the substance of the thing done, but also on account of the manner and order in which it is done. Again, a miracle is said to go beyond the hope of nature, not above the hope of grace, which comes from faith, whereby we believe in the future resurrection. Third objection. The word miracle is derived from admiration. Now, admiration concerns things manifest to the senses, but sometimes things happen outside the order of nature which are not manifest to the senses, as when the apostles were endowed with knowledge without studying or being taught. Therefore, not everything that occurs outside the order of nature is miraculous. Reply to the third objection. The knowledge of the apostles, although not manifest in itself, yet was made manifest in its effect, from which it was shown to be wonderful. Article 8. Whether one miracle is greater than another. In John 14:12, the Lord says, speaking of miraculous works, "The works that I do, he also shall do, and greater than these he shall do." Nothing is called a miracle by comparison with the divine power, because no action is of any account compared with the power of God. According to Isaiah 40:15, "Behold, the Gentiles are as a drop from a bucket, and are counted as the smallest grain of a balance." But a thing is called a miracle by comparison with the power of nature which it surpasses. So the more the power of nature is surpassed, the greater the miracle. Now the power of nature is surpassed in three ways. Firstly, in the substance of the deed, for instance, if two bodies occupy the same place, or if the sun goes backwards, or if a human body is glorified. Such things nature is absolutely unable to do, and these hold the highest rank among miracles. Secondly, a thing surpasses the power of nature not in the deed, but in that wherein it is done, as the raising of the dead and giving sight to the blind and the like. For nature can give life, but not to the dead, and such hold the second rank in miracles. Thirdly, a thing surpasses nature's power in the measure and order in which it is done, as when a man is cured of a fever suddenly without treatment or the usual process of nature, or when the air is suddenly condensed into rain by divine power without a natural cause, as occurred at the prayers of Samuel and Elijah. And these hold the lowest place in miracles. Moreover, each of these kinds has various degrees, according to the different ways in which the power of nature is surpassed. In this article, St. Thomas considers all possible objections to have been resolved in this explanation.